He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Father in heaven, we thank you today for just another opportunity to lift up your blessed and holy name. Thank you, dear Lord, for all your many blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you, dear Lord God, for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord God, for the redeeming blood, because without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission for our sins. Lord, as we come before you, I pray, Lord God, that you would meet the needs of your people. Touch one by one and name by name. And Lord God, read the tables of their heart. There's somebody in despair right now. There's someone weak right now. There's someone downtrodden right now. There's someone confused right now. But I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would loose your power to heal every situation. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would move in a mighty way, Lord God, in the lives of your people, and come against, Lord God, the enemy of their soul. I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would come against every demon that demonizes, and come against, Lord God, every spirit that seeks to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Lord God, I pray that you would help those who are struggling. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, to redeem, Lord God, lost and dying souls from death. I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bind the spirit of confusion, addiction, whoredom, witchcraft, and every stronghold that the enemy have on your people. Lord Jesus, you came to set the captives free. And I pray that you would set free their minds. Lord God, set free their spirits. Set free their souls. Set free their bodies. Set them free, Lord God, from the power of darkness. And I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would draw your children on in. For we are living in the last days. And Lord God, we know that Jesus is soon to come. And Lord God, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would save them, that you would sanctify them, that you would baptize and fill your children with your spirit in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, that you would seal them, Lord God, unto the day of redemption. Lord God, I bless your holy name on today. And I pray, Father, as the word go forth, Lord God, let the Spirit of God have free course. And Lord God, let all things be done decently and in order. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to our Savior. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. Praise God to our King. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for another time, chance, and opportunity just to come before you, amen, with the word from the Lord. And I just pray that it will bless each and every one of you, and that you would open up your ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, amen, to the church on today. Amen. Glory to God. Because we know that what we need right now is Jesus. Amen. Somebody wrote a song, I need just a little more Jesus. Amen. But I can say I need a lot more of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Because it's getting, pretty bad out here. You know, and we see the escalation of wars and crime and, you know, all these things happening all around us. And it's like death is just walking on 2 feet throughout the land and snatching up souls everywhere. Amen. But, you know, the safest place to be in is in the will of God. And if you don't know Him, please get to know Him before it's too late. Amen. The scripture reading shall be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11, and it reads, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." May God bless us through this, the reading of His holy word. The subject of today's message is, it is time to grow up. Amen. The church at Corinth was planted by Paul, and he wrote this epistle to address and to rectify some gross disorders that he had heard about during his absence. Paul heard reports of division in the church, a case of incest which had not been judged, and then there were heresies that also arose. The people were also spiritually immature when it came down to the Word of God, the move of God, and their understanding of certain aspects of the ministry. The root of the problem was that they were carnal-minded Christians, which suggests that they were in Christ, but walking according to the flesh. We learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that a carnal state prevents spiritual growth. It was expected that the church at Corinth would reach spiritual maturity, but their growth was stunted, and they remained as babes in Christ. Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." So Paul blamed them for their weakness, non-proficiency, and inability to grow in grace and increase their knowledge of Christ Jesus. Carnality kills the spiritual move of God. And when you walk according to the flesh, it makes it spiritually impossible to become elevated in Christ Jesus. As children of the Most High God, we are expected to grow and reach full stature and to become the men and women that God called us to be. Our mindset, understanding, and knowledge of God's word should improve as we grow in time. If you have been on this journey for 20 years, let's say, and only able to comprehend the simplest of truth, there must be a problem somewhere. If you are stagnant in learning, it is time for you to search within yourself for the reason why. Now, Just to shift from the spiritual aspect of growth, let us talk about how we undergo several changes in respect to the human thought process as we develop and grow. When we consider the human life cycle, from infancy to adulthood, the way that we think, comprehend, and behave are usually suitable or consistent with our age. As we grow into adults, we should also outgrow certain traits and characteristics associated with the earlier stages of our life cycle. So during the infancy stage is when you get all of the attention. And in my opinion, this is the best stage because when you are a baby, you are literally living the life of Riley. Babies don't have to wash themselves because somebody is going to do it for them. Babies don't have to prepare food to feed themselves because somebody is going to do it for them. Babies don't have to wipe their own bottom because somebody is going to do it for them. The hardest part of their day is sleeping, eating, and making a whole lot of noise. They are incapable of taking care of themselves and rely 100% on human assistance. But during this stage is also the learning. That's when the learning process begins. Infants begin to focus on what is happening around them. And although the understanding is not there, they learn to listen and to pay attention. From a parental standpoint, this is where the molding and the shaping of a child begins. We also know that infants cannot digest anything that is stronger than milk, nor can they stand on their feet. But at some point, they do begin to crawl. When they move on into the toddler stage, which is 2 to 3 years old, this is where they start to walk, but unsteady on their feet at first. Toddlers, they undergo immense cognitive, emotional, and social developments during this time. And 80% of a child's brain is developed by the age of 3. And they learn to imitate the behavior of others, especially adults and older children. This is the time that parents should see the importance of leading by example, because the mind of a child is like a sponge that absorbs everything. And so if you are not mindful of your speech or your conduct in their presence, eventually they will mimic what they have seen or heard. So when you hear little kids cussing like sailors, they did not come up with that language on their own. So let's just keep it real. This is what you call learned behavior. So the "I don't know where my child got this from" excuse just doesn't fly. If they are around the same people 24/7 and living in the same house as the people they are around 24/7, it is obvious where they got it from. When we consider people who are racist and, you know, feel that certain classes of people are beneath them, they were not born with this hatred or bias in their heart. This is learned behavior. If your children are lazy, it could be the result of many reasons why, but one of them is learned behavior because they're around adults who are unmotivated, and they're not motivating them in the right way, or they become lazy from constantly being rewarded when they don't deserve to be rewarded. There are people that believe good parenting means buying their children what they want or giving them what they want. In the meantime, They don't do chores, don't make up their bed, don't clean their rooms, doing poorly in school, but they are rewarded with video games, cell phones, and sneakers. But this style of parenting is not good because it cultivates a certain mindset that the world owes them something and they do not have to do anything to get it. And these same children who are now adults, some of them walk around with a sense of entitlement, believing that the world owes them something and they don't have to put forth any effort or make any contributions in it, you know, to advance in society because, you know, somebody's just going to give it to me. But during the molding and shaping process, it's important for parents to encourage their children to be the best that they can be, even if they have a learning disability. Encourage them and never make them feel like they are limited. There are students enrolled right now in some of the best universities that have IEPs. But guess what? They started as a freshman and they are now juniors. I know one like that. I've seen students who are wheelchair bound, some verbal, some nonverbal, but they did not allow their disability to hold them back. That fueled them even more to be just as good as the next person. And we're all familiar with the Shriners Hospital for Children commercials where we see many children with different kinds of disabilities who's undergone multiple surgeries, yet they are pushing and pressing through it to be the best that they can be in society. Now, I'm talking to the school-age children right now. I don't know if there's any listening. But if God can do this for them, why can't He do it for you? You can be doctors. You can become lawyers. You can be architects or engineers. But if you do not aim for anything in life, you will miss out on opportunities to advance because you are unmotivated or too afraid to take a chance. The Apostle Paul declared in Philippians 3:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if God is in your life and you allow Him to have complete control over your life, He will give you the skill, the know-how, and the ability to do everything that you set your mind to do. When God is your helper, you are not limited. Amen. Getting back to the human life cycle. Once a child reaches the adolescent stage, the behavioral pattern changes. And let's say from around age 13 to 18, it is usually pretty rough for parents. Can I get an amen? But it is also a time to see if they will put to practice the core values that you taught them. I heard someone say that the true character of a child will come out when the parents are not around. In other words, they are perfect angels when they're in your presence, but are they perfect angels when they are not in your presence? For the most part, during this time, rebellion is common. Teenagers encounter all kinds of temptation. Sometimes they want to experiment or go down roads that are potentially harmful. Then there's the desire to be independent, but they don't have a clue. And so from a parental standpoint, it can be mentally draining and a very challenging time because it is a fight to keep young people on track. But it is a fight that can be won if the parents continue to be disciplinarians and not leave their teenagers to their own devices. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." When you are young, sometimes you make mistakes or irrational decisions. Sometimes you make some wrong turns, which causes you to drift further out into the world. But if you are trained in the way that you should go, the seed is planted in your conscience. You may slip, trip, stumble, or fall, but eventually you will come right back to what makes sense. So parents, when you train up a child in the way that he should go, although he go far out into the world, just like a boomerang, he may go out, but he or she will come right back again. Now, when you reach adulthood, in the natural sense, it is the stage where you reach full mental capacity and able to stand. You know the difference between right and wrong. You have a sound mind, or should have a sound mind, and have the ability to make sound decisions. You should have a clear plan as to how to reach stability and how to sustain yourself in this material world. When you think like an adult, you don't look for people to do for you what you are capable of doing yourself. You understand what is appropriate and fitting for someone who has reached adulthood. It would be considered inappropriate to see an adult crawling around on the floor, sucking on a pacifier, or behaving like a teenager at the age of 40. As the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." So when you see grown people who are not stable thinkers all over the place and still haven't figured out what being an adult is all about, it goes back to their mindset. And in many cases, there are adults that refuse to grow up. But there comes a time when they must come to the realization that they are not children anymore, that ship has sailed and will not come back to dock, but it is time to grow up. So, in conclusion, you must put away childish things in order to be the man or woman that God is calling you to be. Likewise, in the spiritual aspect, the Lord wants us to grow spiritually. It should be an upward and forward progression. As written in the book of Jude, verses 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You cannot be in a forward move if you refuse to change childlike behavior. Paul was giving the Corinthian church to know that this was the root of their problem. If they wanted to get to the place where they could digest more than milk. It was necessary to put away childish things. And so the message is the same to the modern day church. The only way to reach the place where you can grasp hold of the meat of the word, which is the deeper things of God, it requires us to put away childish things. It is time to grow up. In closing, 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." It is time to grow up. So let us all grow in grace and stay in the forward move of God. Amen, amen, and amen.